You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Hebrews 2nd chapter. We're going to just start there, jump off that diving board, and pray there's water in a pool. You know, we started teaching on overcoming here a few weeks ago. God's will is that you overcome in life. I think most things we endure, we should be overcoming. We should endure persecution. I understand that. There are some things that you just have to put up with as a Christian, as a believer. If you're going to stand up for Jesus, people are going to, you know, they're going to make fun of you. They're not going to like you. We live in a broken, fallen world. And if you want to be, I tell you, the bold person is not the guy that gets up and says he's a gay basketball player. I that's the one that gets the phone calls from the presidents. That's not bold. That's the one that gets his picture on the Sports Illustrated. That's not courage. Are you with me? If you want to be courageous, get up and say, hey, I'm straight. I believe in the traditional marriage. I believe. Now, stay with me. I'm not against homosexuals. I'm not against, people that, liars and adulterers and gossipers. Hello. We're not against anybody. We're for people. But right's right and wrong's wrong. And we have to declare what we believe to be the truth. And in love. And so, you know, we say bring anybody here. If you want to repent and get right with God, we don't care what your past is. Every saint has a past, every sinner has a future. Amen? So we don't hate people. We love people. We hate sin, but we love people. But, you know, there are some things as Christians, that we do live in a world that opposes, the spirit of the world opposes Christianity. Doesn't oppose the Muslim faith, doesn't oppose the Buddhist faith, doesn't oppose atheistic, you know, ways. But if you say Jesus, all of a sudden now you're going to get persecuted. I understand that. But there are many things that we're enduring we should be overcoming. Sometimes we put up depression. Are you with me? Put up with lack and put up with all kinds of things that really we can pray and believe God and stand in faith and overcome. And God wants us to. It's not about just having more stuff. It's not about just being joyful. It's about being in position to help others. So true prosperity is about getting your house paid for. You can help somebody else pay their house off. Jesus said it this way. He said, if the blind lead the blind, both fall in the ditch. So we got to get past this religious mentality that God wants us down, he wants us beat down, he wants us poor, he wants us barely struggling, he wants us act like we've been run over and bamboozled all of our life, and one day on a great waking up morning it'll all be better by and by. No, actually Jesus, when he came to earth, he began to change some things. He gave to the poor, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he stopped storms. I mean, he hit the earth like a war zone and begin to correct some things, and that's what we need to do. We ought to live our life praying for others, helping others, lifting others, and get out of that mess ourselves. Thank you, Ron. I appreciate you coming. That's good. Y'all talk to Ron. He's got it. Y'all, but he's amen it. But we need to get over things in our lives so we can help others get over. Because it's not just about you. It's about others. Hey, it's about your children. It's about your grandchildren. I need to live for God so my children will live for God. I need to learn how to conquer life and overcome life. I was born to overcome it, not to be overcome by it. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, 1 John 4:4 says. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, 1 John 4:5 says. And then 1 John 5:4 and 5:5. 1 John 4:4, y'all say that 10 times real fast. 4:4. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. Woo! Are you with me? So we got help, we got strength, we got hope, we got healing, we got a healer, we got a life giver. We got strength we didn't have before. We got Jesus. Amen? So we ought to get our chin up. Hallelujah. Get back up. You know, maybe you fell. Well, get back up. A righteous man falls 7 times, he rises again, the Bible says. Either up or getting up. That ought to be our attitude. Not down, I'm just getting up. Amen. What was that John Wayne said in one of those, I think it was the Train Robbers. I can't remember which movie it was. It was a John Wayne movie, though. I know that. Somebody fell off a horse, and he said, get back up on it. You're going to spend your whole life getting on a horse and falling back off and getting back on, so get back on it, you know. And that's true. I mean, our whole life is getting back up, isn't it? Getting back up, and you've had pain in your life. We've all had pain. You know, you cut me, I bleed. Come on, we've had bad experiences, but what are you going to do? You know, are you going to get back up and go forward? God will help you if you will. He'll strengthen you. Hallelujah. Maybe you've sinned. Well, You know, you can beat yourself over the head about it and talk about how no good you are. I can't believe I did that. Everybody else couldn't believe you did it. Are you out there? See, we think so highly of ourselves, we think we can't mess up. Someone else does it, it's okay, we understand. They're not as good as we are. We can forgive them, but we can't forgive us because, you know, we're better than everybody else. Are you out there? And so we do something and we think we're just, I can't believe we did it. Everybody else can believe you did it. Moving right along. You know, the first thing you need to get over is yourself. That's the first thing you need to get over. Now, God loves you and he's for you and he's not against you. But you're not perfect. You have to work on some things. We all have to work on. None of us are perfect. But, you know, he'll help us if we'll get back up. You know, just quit, get this legend in your own mind out of your mind. You're just like everybody else. We're all the same. Everybody's normal till you get to know them. Isn't that right? I mean, once you get to know them, you start seeing all these quirks. Well, listen, you got some quirks and jerks, too. We all have them. And we're all working on it. And don't be so hard on yourself. And don't think so highly of yourself either. God loves you. That's good enough. You can make it. Hallelujah. Get back up on your feet. Let's go forward. Let's don't go backwards. You sin. Hey, join a club. We all sin. You know, maybe you did it for years. Well, hey, now's the time to come out of it. Let's come out of that sin. Let's come to Jesus. Let's get some help. Amen. Let's call on God and let's get some help. And don't be afraid of the future. Don't be afraid of trying this again or getting back up on his horse again, as John Wayne would say. Hebrews 2, you found it? I want to talk to you about overcoming fear. Everybody say fear. Now, fear is a broad subject. There's a lot of things you can fear. You can fear a new job. You can fear new relationships. You know, that's what happens. Somebody has a bad relationship and they're afraid to go into another one because, well, you know, they've been burnt, they've been hurt, whatever. Well, we've all been burnt and hurt, but you have a problem. One woman, you think all women are bad. You know, you have problem. I didn't mean a thing by that when I looked at you. My eye just went that way. You have a problem with a man, you think all men are bad, you know. And so you just get burnt, as it were. You know, it's like, I think, who was it said that? Mark Twain, I believe, said this. He said, if a cat sits on a hot stove, he'll never sit on a hot stove again. But the problem is, he'll never sit on a cold one either. And see, and that's the problem with us. We get burnt, but we don't just not go into that bad situation again. We don't even go into a good situation again because we get hurt, see, because of the fear of that happening again. The fear, I don't want to give too much of myself away because I'll get hurt. You know, I don't want to be too transparent, too open because when I've ever done that in the past, people have hurt me. You can't trust anybody. You know, you get real cynical about life. Don't do that. Don't let that fear get a hold of you. Listen, there are some bad people in the world. There are some good people in the world. Just the way it is. And, you know, I think about the food ministry out here. There's probably some, I know there's people out there that probably don't need help. They're slipping in there, those rascals, and eating our food and going in those rooms and sucking up our air conditioning that we're paying for. But, you know, there's a lot of people who do need help. Sometimes you have to feed the greedy just to get to the needy. I mean, if you're just so afraid of, you know, being hurt and so afraid of not being appreciated, you won't ever help anybody. You won't do anything. You won't reach out to anybody. You won't be friendly to anybody. You just be cynical, mean, and you ought to repent, you old mean thing. But it says here concerning fear, the 14th verse of the second chapter of Hebrews, says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that's us, children of God, we became human, came into this earth. So for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, Jesus, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. I love that. God took the devil's greatest weapon and used it against him. He sent Jesus down here, and all the devil could do was think of some way to kill Jesus, and that's exactly what Jesus came to do. And he didn't even know that. The devil didn't even understand that. In fact, the Bible says, had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They thought they buried him, but all they did was plant him. And what you plant comes back up. Hallelujah. And so through death, and a great strategist in general will always do that, he'll find the greatest strength of the enemy and somehow use it against, knowing he's going to use that, knowing he's going to throw that punch in the ring. Anticipate, knowing it's coming, he'll use it against him. Well, that's what God did. I mean, what the devil used was death. He's trying to kill Jesus, and that's exactly what Jesus came to do. So he used it against him. And then it says in the 15th verse, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Isn't that something? That fear of death puts us in bondage our whole life. We're afraid of death. We're afraid of dying. And we shouldn't fear dying. We really shouldn't. I mean, I'm not saying you don't have a natural resistance to it. I don't want to die. And I know Jesus is coming back. And, you know, it's like that preacher said one time. He said to the kids, he had all the kids up front. And he says, if I told you you could all go to heaven right now, you could all go to heaven, how many of you want to go? And they all left their hand, one little boy. And he asked the little boy, and he said, so how come you didn't lift your hand? He said, I thought you were taking a load up right now. He said, he want to live a little longer. But Jesus took away, should have taken away the fear of death. We don't have to fear it. There's a much better place waiting on us on the other side of this thing. I mean, there's a place where there's no pain, no sorrow, no crying, no dying. Former things pass away. All things become new. Not just streets of gold. The whole place is gold. The wall is just made of jewels and diamonds and all that. And there's the light of the Son of God and the Lamb. And the light of God shines in that place. And there's no need of the sun. And there's a tree of life that has 12 manner of fruits on it. It's a wonderful place. Revelation chapter 21, 22. You ought to read it. And we're going to live forever and ever and ever. I mean, we're never going to go to another funeral. We're never going to go to another hospital. We'll never get sick. Never have another wrinkle pop up on your face, ladies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put Botox out of business. I mean, we'll just, it's going to be a wonderful place. Amen. But Jesus came to destroy death by dying and deliver us who through fear of death were all of our lifetime subject to bondage. And I would submit to you that you are in bondage to what you fear. Whatever it is. Now, there's a fear of God, which is a healthy thing. That's the beginning of wisdom, amen? But to fear anything else is very unhealthy. Because if you fear anything, you're not trusting God concerning that thing. And everybody has these little phobias, you know, whether it's spiders or snakes or, you know, we have these little things we're afraid of. And, you know, it paralyzes us, doesn't it, really? I know people that can't walk in high grass because they're just afraid a snake's going to come out and grab them, you know. In fact, I like to just go behind those people and just grab them real quick and just watch their reaction. But I repented. I mean, I did. I repented. I asked God to forgive me for that. I remember one time. I'm telling the truth. I was working on a construction job in Houston. I used to build industrial cooling towers. And they put those on top of buildings, you know. We worked in chemical plants all over Houston area, and then we worked on some skyscrapers in downtown Houston. And it's one Houston Center. They actually built two Houston Center first and then one Houston Center second. They had this construction cage, if y'all ever seen those, where it's big cage, about 20 guys can get in it, and they put a track up the side of the building, and this construction cage just goes up the side of the building all the way to the top. And then we get out, and we start working on the top. Well, if there ever was a new guy that came, this certain track, it was several, I don't know, 50, 60 floors. I can't remember how many floors it was. But about halfway up, there was a little notch in the track, and it just kind of stuttered just for a second. It'd go, there wasn't anything wrong with it. It just had a little stutter. So if we ever had a new guy on there, we'd all wait. Just watch him. And we get halfway up, and when we go, we all go, ah! And watch them turn white. But fear, it paralyzes us, doesn't it? I mean, it just takes over everything. When you're afraid of something, it just paralyzes you, especially when you walk in a door and someone says, boo, you know, you just like this. You can't do anything. Well, the devil loves to keep you afraid. He loves to keep you afraid of all kinds of things. He wants you afraid to come to church. He wants you afraid to get too involved in church. He wants you afraid, be afraid of getting in a relationship with someone, never committing, as it were. Are you out there? And we just, whatever we're afraid of controls us. It puts us in bondage, as it were. And God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Everybody say sound mind. Because sound mind's the opposite of being afraid of something. If you're afraid of something, you're confused. You're not thinking straight. Your focus is way off. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, power, and a sound mind. Hallelujah. I'm not confused. I don't have to be afraid. I can go forward. I can win. I can make it. I can start this business, and I can make it. Are you with me? Yeah, but I did one before and didn't make it. Well, do another one. Just start another business. Well, I've already ridden that horse. Well, get on another horse. Are you with me? Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop. Well, I had a bad relationship. Well, that doesn't mean all relationships are bad. You know, that's where all prejudice comes from. I mean, somebody has a bad experience with somebody of another color, and then you just include the whole race in it, and you think everybody of that color is just bad. You can do it with preachers. You can have a bad experience with a preacher and think all preachers are bad. You can do it with white people and black people, Hispanic people, yellow people, green people, polka-dotted people, people with tattoos, people with blue hair. I said blue hair because that's been around a long time, blue hair, hasn't it? Green hair. You know, you can have a bad experience with somebody and think everybody that looks like that or acts like that is just that way. And that's just a fear that has paralyzed you. Are you out there? And we don't want to do that. We all fall. And we've all been hurt. We've all been cut. We've all been, you know, we've all bled. But we've got to go forward. Hallelujah. We've all fallen on tough times. But Jesus, he's tougher. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. The word fear comes from an old English word, F-A-E-R, fire. I think it's, you know, we say fear, and it actually was fire. Don't go pronouncing it that way. People will think you look funny. But it really meant a sudden attack is what it really meant. And it's akin to an old High German word meaning an ambush or a snare. I always thought that was real significant because it's the devil snaring you. Because if he can just get you out of faith and into fear, then he's got you. You're not going to progress any further, and you're not going to go any further. And you're not going to be a threat to him. And you're not going to be a help to anybody. Isn't that right? Yep. I mean, when you're shut down, you're shut down. You can't help anybody at all. And that's what the devil wants. He wants you just to be pointless and useless. He wants you not to help anybody, not to reach out to anybody, not to go forward, because he doesn't want you to be a threat to him. And so through fear, he intimidates you. But, you know, we know better. Amen? Are you out there?
Yes.
Recognize the devil and what he's doing. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 John 4. Hallelujah. You know, there's a difference between respect and fear. That's another good distinction to make. My daddy always taught me to respect cows, but not to fear cows. I mean, we lived way out in the country. He lived 4 miles down a dirt road, and he got those, what we call them Brema bulls. Some people call them Brahma. Some people call them Brahmam, but we call them Brema. Okay? We had Brema bulls that would eat, and the reason we had Brema cattle is because they would eat the bark off a pine tree. I mean, they weren't real picky about what they ate, so they were easy to raise in East Texas. And Dad started a herd after he retired from the military. We went down to the dairy, and we got these little calves. You know, they just hardly anything at all. And we started a herd that way. And as they grew up, we bottle fed them. And as they grew up, we'd get a bull. Anyway, he got a herd. And we had a couple of crazy cows that would chase you. So he'd say, always stay close to a fence. You know, or a tree, don't get out in the middle of the pasture with that particular cow because you know that cow's crazy, he'll run over you. But he never told me to be afraid of the cow. He says, son, you got to respect these animals. Hello? And you know, we need to teach our kids the same way. Sometimes we teach children to be afraid to cross the street instead of respecting the cars that come. We teach our children to be afraid of all kinds of things. And we even tell them in great detail what will happen to them and how bad it will be. Hello. Which we should warn our children and we should teach them respect, but we don't need to teach our children fear. We need to teach them to use good judgment. Now, son, you jump off that house, you're going to hit the ground. So let's don't be jumping off the house. I don't want you to be afraid of heights, but you need to use wisdom if you're up on a roof. Hello. Because what will happen, you'll instill fear into a child and he'll grow up and be afraid of heights. Because we've told them to. Are you out there? Okay. Y'all need some coffee or something? I'm real quiet in here. 1 John 4, you found it? 1 John 4, verse 18, notice what it says. It says, there is no fear in love. I love this. But perfect love casts out fear. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. You ever notice a mama can just love somebody? I mean, it could be a mass murderer and she'll just love them. And the police are all surrounding them. You know, they've got guns out there behind their cars. And, you know, they got they got tanks coming in. And mama just goes out there, son, come on, don't do that. And just reaches up and grabs him, hugs him. She's not afraid of him. Why is that? Because she loves him. I'm not advocating mass murderers. You stay with me. I'm just saying, you notice that and you see that in life. What is that that causes that mama to walk in the midst of that kind of danger? Because you know why? It's not a danger to her. She knows he's not going to shoot her. That's her child. She loves her child. See, love just gets rid of fear. And I'd submit to you, if you love God, you won't be afraid of God. There's a fear of God, but it's not, as we say, East Texas, a scared God. I'm not afraid that God's going to smash me like a bug. I respect and I honor and I reverence God because he is God and he loves me and he's for me and he's the creator and the master of all that is. And I want to do what's right and what pleases him. But out of love, I want to do that. Yeah. Amen. Amen? So perfect love casts out fear. Fear in relationships. If you really love, you won't fear relationships. If you really love your parents, you won't fear your parents when you grow older. Maybe they abuse you, misuse you, I don't know. But if you get on your knees and forgive them and pray for them and love them, that fear will leave. It'll leave you. The memory will be there, but you don't have to be afraid anymore. Y'all getting any of this? Fear hath torment, it says. Torment is an instrument of torture, or torture afflicted, to be tormented. You know, somebody's afraid of something that's just tormented all their life. People lay awake at night worried about the economy, worried about whether their job's going to be there tomorrow, worried about whether they're going to be able to pay their bills and keep their house and keep their car. That is torment. That is hell on earth, and God does not want you to live that way. God wants you to live in faith, knowing that he will supply your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, that he is the Lord, your shepherd, and you will not lack. Hallelujah. He's a good shepherd. He feeds you. He leads you. He guides you. Amen. By the green pasture, he'll take care. I don't know about everybody else, but I know I don't have to fear a man. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Whom shall I fear? He's going to take care of me. He provides for the sparrow. He'll provide for me. He clothes the lily. He'll clothe me. You know, Matthew 6, it gives that perfect example. It says, why take you a thought of worry? That's what he's saying, anxiety and fret. Why take you the thought, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? Wherewith shall I be clothed? Consider the sparrow. They don't even gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? And then he goes on and he says, and why take you thought for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. It says, Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these, or clothed like one of these lilies. If God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more shall he not clothe you, O ye of little faith? Woo. Therefore, take no thought saying, I like that. Take no thought of worry and anxiety and doubt saying, what am I going to do? What shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall I be clothed with? For your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things, it goes on to say. And it goes on and says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When you find out you have this loving Father, you don't have a thing to be afraid of. Well, what am I going to do in this economy? What about Obamacare? Yeah, well, that's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it, Obamacare? But anyway, you got to be quick. Get this, you got to be quick. What about gasoline? What about the prices of gas? What? Oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? What about the debt in the country that we have? So all I know is my God supplies my needs according to riches glory by Christ Jesus. All I know is the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack for any good thing. All I know is that He delights in my prosperity, and the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he has no sorrow with it. Amen. Are you with me? All I know is God's always come through. Oh, no, he'll never let go, as we sing the song. Amen. He'll never let go of me. Some way, somehow, he'll make a way. I don't know how. He's got a million ways of blessing me and taking care of me. I just need to trust him and not get in fear. In the last days, Jesus said, men's heart will fail them for fear of things that are coming upon the earth. He didn't say men's hearts would fail them because of the things coming on the earth. It says men's hearts will fail them for fear of the things coming upon the earth. Fear has torment. We need to live in faith. We are children of faith, amen? And the just shall live by faith. And we walk by faith and not by sight, as 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us. We need to trust God. I don't know about everybody else, but you can trust God. I don't know what everybody else is going to do, but I know what God's going to do. He's going to come through. He always does. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you love God, well, perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. Great pain, anguish, physical, mental suffering, and agony. That's the definition of torment. A source of pain and anxiety or annoyance. Stir up and agitate. Punishment, torment. See, the devil uses fear to torment you. Fear of what people think about you. Fear of people don't like you. Well, you know, not everybody's cup of tea. I understand that. But you know, everybody's not my cup of tea either. I mean, some people come here and they'll think, man, that's just awesome. I just really get a lot out of that message. I mean, the anointing's just strong, and I'm connecting here. It's where you're supposed to be. That's wonderful. Some people come here and say, you know, I just don't like that guy. I don't know what it is about him. You know, that's okay. I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to make people mad, but I know I don't relate to everybody, and I know everybody doesn't relate to me. And you know what? That's okay. We're all different. Now, honestly, I do not know why anybody would not like me. I don't understand that. I just from experience, I found that to be the case sometimes, you know. It just happens that way. So, but we've got to get over all this stuff. Are you with me? I got a personality. You got a personality. We do our best to get along with each other. But, you know, I'm not going to click with everybody. You're not going to click with everybody. That's okay. There's nobody like you. You're God's one and only. Amen. God's got somebody you can click with, somebody you can flow with. There's a church out there waiting to find a church and get in it and serve God. If this is it, come on. If not, go find one that is. But let's serve the Lord. That's why we're for church. Amen. Man, we got some great churches in our community. I thank God for all of them. They're all different. They should all come here. I understand that. Hey, people want to be loved. They want to be accepted. They want to be heard. And they want to be helped, and they want to be needed. They do. They want to be noticed. Yes, everybody wants that. Come on, we all want that. So do your best to do that to others. Amen? Not everybody's going to notice you. Not everybody's going to accept you. But there's be some that will. But one thing for sure, God accepts you. God notices you. When all forsake you, the Lord will stand with you. Amen? And God loves you when everybody doesn't love you. And he believes in you. When you don't believe in yourself, he believes in you. He really does. See, so you just get that stuff out of your head. Let's work on ourselves. I can't change the world, but I can change me. I can't change what everybody thinks about me, but I can change what I think about me. I can. I can change the way I'm living, the way I'm thinking, the way I look at things, my perspective. I can get in God's word. I can pray, get on my knees, and ask God just to wash me and just cleanse me and work on me, and I can get a good attitude. And I don't have to be cocky. I don't have to be arrogant about it. I can do it in love. I can be confident and humble at the same time. Amen? Because, really, see, an egotist is not someone who thinks of himself more than others. An egotist is just someone who never thinks about others. Are you out there? So you can know you have something to offer and you can help people, but value people. You still think of others and you're valuing people. That's not egotistical. Are you with me? And know they have something to offer you too. So you ought to see value in people. Everybody's valuable. Somebody saw value in me. Listen, when God called me to pastor, and he called me to the ministry, called me to be saved, I wasn't some great catch. I mean, if you'd seen me, before I got saved, and God said, there he is, there's your pastor. You'd be out of church today. I mean, I was back in the day when you had all that hair, you know. And my hair was real frizzy, and I had a headband that I would tie around my head. And when I'd tie it, my hair would go, you know. And when it was wet, it was down the middle of my back. I had long hair. I was in those hippie, you know, dope days, and got kicked out of high school and, you know, been in jails and drugs. But God saw something. God saw something. He saw something nobody else saw. God always sees something in you you don't see. Until you get with God, you can't get it out of you. You'll never get out of you what God put in you, because it takes God to get out of you what God put in you. And until you get with God, you can't get out of that potential, that person you're supposed to be that God made you to be. And you get in his presence, and he changes you, and he pulls out of you things that you didn't even know were in there. You didn't know you could love. You didn't know you could live holy. You didn't know you could live right. You didn't know you could help people, but God knew. He knew all that time. It was always there. See, the devil had you in fear, and you wouldn't try this, and you wouldn't do this, and you wouldn't do that, and you wouldn't reach out over here because you didn't want to get hurt, and you didn't want to be misunderstood, and you didn't want to be embarrassed. Are you with me? And then you get with God, and he just starts pulling that stuff out of you, driving the fear out of you, and all of a sudden, your things start happening. Hallelujah. See, if you want to be all you be, you got to get to Jesus. Amen. Only then will you overcome your fears. Glory. Woo. Aren't you glad? Yeah. Amen. So, no fear in love. Perfect love cast out fear. Fear has torment. He that feareth is made perfect. Is not made perfect in love. So love undoes, will change all that. Hallelujah. Turn with me to, where do y'all want to turn to? Turn to Proverbs 29. Yeah, 1 John 4:4 is a good one. I quoted that one. Proverbs 29. You know, Shakespeare said it this way. He said, I'm waxing eloquent here. I'm starting to quote people. This is dangerous. Shakespeare said, our doubts are traitors that make us lose what we oft might win by fearing to attempt. Because we have doubts, we don't try things. We don't try relationships. We don't try to serve God. We don't try to get involved in church or whatever the case may be. Our doubts are traitors. And they, because of fear, we don't attempt. And we often might win if we would. You know, if you just keep at it, just come on, don't quit, don't give up. Maybe right around the corner. Don't stop now. You've been living for God or trying this thing over and over and over. You say, well, I've tried it 100 times. Well, maybe the 101th time. I sound like the hobbits on Lord of the Rings. Secondy breakfast, 111th. The 101st time may be the time that does it. But one thing for sure, if you quit, you lose. So just don't quit. I heard a comedian say this. He's always talking about food. He said, oh, it's late one night. And he says, I just opened up the freezer and pulled out a half a gallon of ice cream because I'm an American. He said, I took the top off and threw it away because I'm not a quitter. Anyway, don't let fear stop you. Amen. And don't go home and eat the ice cream. That was a joke. Proverbs 29. Notice what it says. Right now we'll wrap this up so we'll beat the Baptist to Brookshire's. God bless the Baptist. Proverbs 29, verse 25 says, the fear of man brings a snare. You notice that? Brings a snare. Listen, we ought to have awesome respect for people and respect for bosses, employers, and so on and so forth. I think people in high office we ought to have respect for. I respect the office of the presidency. I don't agree with our president on a lot of things. I don't agree with him on anything. But anyway, he is the president of the United States of America, and he was duly elected, and I pray for him because I'm under a mandate to pray for our president. I pray that he's protected. I pray that none of his policies pass. How do I redeem myself here? I don't know. But y'all stay with me. Stay with me, okay? Stay with me. Look past all that. Okay. All right. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Isn't that good? You don't need to be afraid of people. I mean, come on. I remember Chico Holiday. Y'all heard me tell this story. Chico Holliday was a nightclub singer, but he got saved. And he started writing Christian music, put out some Christian albums. In fact, I got one of those albums. I'm dating myself. I had one of those albums, you know. They're coming back. They're starting to use vinyl again, yeah. Anyway, he was at Lakewood Church in Houston. John Osteen was our pastor for years, and Joel's dad. And anyway, he was singing, and he said, you know, I used to walk into a crowd. He said, I used to walk in a crowd, and I'd be so nervous because I was wondering, you know, I was concerned about what everybody's thinking about me, you know. And I could do that up here. Just think, oh, what's Ethan, what's Ron thinking about me? What's everything? We got some new people here. What do they think about me? If they like my hair. Ooh, what do y'all think about me? So you spend your life just worrying about what people think about you. He said, I used to worry about what people think about me. So then God spoke to me. He says, Chico, they're not even thinking about you. He says, you want to know the truth? They're thinking about what you're thinking about them. Hello. And he said it just set him free. He began to realize, I've lived my life worried about what people are thinking about me. And when they look at me, they're worried about what I'm thinking about them. And everybody's trying to think about each other. We ought to just let it go. And it changed his life. I thought it was so good, you know, because you could stand there and think, what are they thinking? What are they thinking? And what they're thinking is the same thing. What's he thinking? You know, that preacher, he stopped and looked at me a long time, especially when he talked about lying. He looked at me. I was just thinking. I wasn't even thinking about you, but anyway. Fear of man brings a snare. Snare is a kind of trap for small animals. Don't be a small animal, okay? Don't get trapped by fear. Don't let little fears just, the fear of man, don't let it trap you. How do you get over all that? Well, you just trust God. You learn to turn things over to the Lord. You learn to put your confidence in God, that he cares about you, that he loves you, that you got a future, you got destiny, you got a hope. You got someone that's behind you that'll help you and undergird you. Hallelujah. And everybody's not against you. Don't you believe that lie. There's a lot of good people out there that do love you and are for you. There's some that don't. Well, you don't have time to spend with those people. Pray for them. Amen. But move on down the road. There's some that do. I tell you what, we love you. We're for you. We'll help you. Amen. We'll pray with you here in the church. There's some people that do believe in you. There's some that don't. Well, who cares? You can't make everybody happy. The one person you need to make happy is God. The one person you need to serve is him. The one person you need to love with all your heart is him. And then, of course, you need to love your wife or husband. Brent, I've been married 41 years this year. It's just been wonderful, hallelujah. If it weren't for Brent, I don't know where I would be today, seriously. Brent was always a good girl growing up, and I was just wild as all get out. I lied to her. She didn't know anything I did when I grew up. You know, as we got married, and she started going to church before I got saved, and actually had been in church for years. And, you know, she's been such a stable force in my life. She's been a constant in my life. She won't let me get in doubt and unbelief. I mean, if I start talking negative, she starts preaching my sermons back to me. I heard you say from the pulpit the other day, quoting scriptures and so on and so forth. And you know what? I've been faithful to Brenda. Because I fear God and I fear Brenda. But anyway, I know Brenda believes in me. I know she loves me.
Yes, she does.
I know God loves me. I know my children believe in me. I know a lot of you believe in me. Oh, come on. It's a lot better than you think it is. There's a lot of people behind you. There's more for you than are against you. So cheer up. Come on. What do you got to be afraid of? You got a bright future. Well, I love you too. I love you too, Dave. I do love Dave. Dave and I go back and forth in the class sometimes. We love each other. But you think about it. You got a bright future. You got nothing to be afraid of. Don't you fear the future. Don't you buy that lie. Don't you let the devil lie to you and steal your joy and steal your health and steal your nights of sleep. You'll lay awake all night worried with fear. No, come on. No, stop that stuff. Stop that insanity. You trust God. Because God does love you. Your future's so bright, you got to wear shades. Go get you a couple pair. Amen.